Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's picnic season, and our region is rife with supreme picnicking spots from the Tanglewood and Spack lawns to parks, estates, beaches, even backyards. But what do you do? What do you bring on a picnic? That's the question. What foods keep best through the hikes, the shows, the other outdoor pursuits? We have the answer for you today. Deanna Fox is a food and agriculture writer, regularly featured in the Times Union and all over Albany. She's also the author of the blog Silly Goose Farm and teaches culinary classes around Albany, and she has been on this show a few times already. She's a regular. Heidi Hoyt is the owner of Parkside Eatery, a popular spot in Saratoga Springs for track goers in the summertime, and it's her first time on the show, so be gentle. Do you like to picnic? What do you bring to a picnic? We want to know. Give us a call. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You can also check in on Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You will see a Vox Pop post there. Tweet us at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag Vox Pop or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. But remember the number, 1-800-348-2551. All right, Deanna and Heidi, you know, we've had a lot of food on this show. This might be the most food we've ever had on Food Friday. This is pretty amazing.
It is a picnic.
It really is a picnic. And there's really no place to put a blanket down. I guess in the corner over there, but no one will be able to hear us.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have you both here, and we'll talk about the food you brought in just a moment. You know, I got to be honest with you. Full disclosure, it's been probably 45 years since I've been on a picnic. I have watched Yogi Bear, and I know that you got to watch out for ants. They'll take their cut. But, yeah, so, I mean, where do you guys go to picnic?
Oh, my kids, we go picnicking all the time. So in Albany, we'll go to the Crossing so they can play at the playground, and then we'll have dinner there. But we'll go up to Spack and watch the ballet or the orchestra in the summers, and really any outdoor, you know, like you said, a state park. It's always a great option. So something quick that you can just throw together and go out and go swimming and do your thing.
I don't even know if I do official picnics. My entire life raising my kids, we've just always packaged food up in blankets and just hit the road and spent days or a day doing something together.
Well, that's a picnic for sure,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, you know, most people are not that imaginative. You get some sandwiches together, some potato chips, you go out. But looks like we're a little above that here. We've raised our game. All right, we'll start with Deanna. What have you brought today?
Well, I think for me, the quintessential picnic food is like a hand pie or an empanada, because you can make them ahead of time and you can freeze them. And then when you decide that you want to go on a picnic, you don't really have to think about it. You can just grab it and put it in your cooler and go.
Plus, hand pie is pretty funny to say.
Yeah, it's a great word.
Yeah. So it's an empanada.
Empanada.
Okay.
So, yeah. So today I made some chicken empanadas and some mixed berry hand pies. And I brought some pickles today because it's not really summer unless you have pickles, in
and
my
they're
opinion.
Good.
Thank you.
And those are bread and butter pickles.
Bread and butter pickles.
So how do you make them?
All of the recipes for the stuff I brought today should be up on the website so people can check it out.
I didn't actually check it out.
Oh, no.
So you could tell us. It being a radio show, you could mention it a little bit.
Sure. Well, I think there's two tricks for making pickles and keeping them crispy. One is to soak them in an ice bath with salt. Which sounds counterintuitive, but actually keeps them crispy. And the other trick is I take a grape leaf. So there's wild grapes that grow throughout the region. And you just clip some of the leaves, and they're a natural source of alum. And I'll just wash them and put them in the bottom of the jar, and that alum will help keep them really crispy. So,
how do you get the sweetness? How much sugar do you put in this?
Sugar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay. All right.
But there's also, you know, there's two types of vinegar and mustard and turmeric and celery seed and crushed red pepper. So
it's good work.
Thank you.
It's good work. All right. And you also brought some sweets.
I did. I brought my mom's double delicious bars that she always makes, which are really easy. It's just graham cracker, butter, a can of sweetened condensed milk, chocolate chips, peanut butter.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had me there. All right. And Heidi, what did you bring?
I brought a bunch of things. My focus, basically, when you're traveling or when you're going to spend hours outside, is to stay away from mayonnaise. So everything that I have today, I really want to talk about making your salads without mayonnaise. So I have some beets with champagne vinaigrette.
Mm.
sesame noodles, coleslaw that has no mayonnaise. It's more of a southern style. Cucumber salad that has a cider vinaigrette on it. Some Creole sweet potatoes that have been baked in the oven, you know, the day before you leave and are great at room temperature. And some roasted vegetables.
Oh, my gosh. And no mayo.
No mayo.
This is really counter to what my family is all about.
I know. It's very typical. I mean, it is a good American fare, but right. When you're traveling or when you're spending hours outside, mayo doesn't work so well sometimes.
Well, it's a crapshoot anyway.
It is.
I mean, it could work.
I also brought some gazpacho. I mean, bringing a nice summer soup sometimes is a great idea. And wrapped it up with a strawberry rhubarb pie, because I agree, pie is summer and picnics.
Okay. Well, stop the presses. This is obviously the most food we've ever had on the show. So really, in order for us to eat, we need people to call. So if you want to call in and talk about your picnic experience, and then let us eat, 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. We got an email here from Gina Fox, who says, here's a picnic menu. Quality Salumeria, is that right? There, you look it up there. You read that.
Salumeria, so like charcuterie mm-hmm. and different salamis.
Yeah. Oh, brie. Delicious.
So she says brie, chutney, cold prosecco. So really what she's talking about is a plowman's lunch, which is basically taking a hunk of bread and a little bit of cured meat and some cheese and pickles and taking it out. Usually she, you know, suggests prosecco, which is totally fine in
yeah,
my book.
Yeah, absolutely.
But normally it would be like a farmhouse ale, a saison or something like that. And yeah, that would be a farmer's lunch.
Delicious.
And you would take it out, and that's kind of the earliest picnic.
The first primeval picnic.
Yeah, cured well, meats are great.
Well, I did mention eating, and that always brings in Jessica Blaustein Marshall, our producer. And so why don't we, all right, now that you're here, why don't we decide what order we want to eat the food?
All at once.
That's not helpful. All right. How about our experts? You pick out a couple of things that'll go together from Heidi and Deanna, and then we'll start noshing here. And the number to call, by the way, is 1-800-348-2551. Okay. This is not the hand pie.
It's an empanada,
which yes, is Spanish for hand pie.
And they're baked. They're not fried.
Okay.
And they're great to make ahead of time because you can make them, you know, a week ahead of time and freeze them. They freeze really well. So after you bake them off, you would put them on the cookie sheet and put them in your freezer until they're kind of nice and cold.
Yeah.
And then you're going to just package them in a Ziploc bag together. And if you freeze them individually, they won't stick together. So you can just grab a few when you're ready to go. You could pop them in the microwave or in the oven. Or if you're going to be on a long road trip, they should be all nice and thawed by the time that you want to eat them.
So you really don't need to heat them up again.
No. Depends on how quickly you're going to eat them afterwards, of course.
This is amazing. You know, one of the great things that you do every time you're here, whatever you make has great crust. And this looks like great crust. So this is your own. This is not you buy it in the store and you unroll it.
No, that's homemade. Yeah. But it's easy. It's easy. It's just flour, baking powder, salt, butter, and a little water. And that's it.
Can't talk eating.
All right. But the nice thing, too, is that you can fill them with anything. So like that, I just had leftover chicken and some peppers and a tomato from my garden and threw them with a little various seasoning, and there it was.
Really nice, and a good spice to that.
Yeah,
kind of a late spice that comes in.
Yeah.
So you don't drizzle this with butter like you do all your other crusts?
That has butter in it.
Aha!
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
There's half a stick of butter in that recipe.
Half a stick
but
of
only
butter.
Half a stick.
Which is very light for you. what is this cube thing that I'm about to eat?
That would be Heidi's.
Cube thing. Oh, my goodness. Those are golden beets.
Oh, golden beets.
Those are golden beets.
Is this some sort of a mutant?
Not at all. They're amazing. Not to mention beautiful. So there's shallots in there and champagne vinaigrette. Very simple.
That is really delicious.
Yeah.
So how long do you have to, do you just soak it in the vinaigrette for a while to soften it up?
No. You just simmer the beets till they're tender, dice them up, toss them in the vinaigrette.
Oh, my
heavens. They take to vinaigrette very well. Beets are super versatile and just a great vegetable.
And this is your coleslaw without the mayo.
That's correct.
Deanna, weigh in on this. See if you like it.
Yeah. Is it a vinegar-based coleslaw?
It is.
So how else did you season your coleslaw?
It's got, well, we definitely have some celery seed in there, some sugar, the flaked red pepper, a few other ingredients tossed in there. But yeah, we grate a lot of or grind a lot of cabbages up. Go through a lot of coleslaw.
By the way, Heidi, nice of you to make it because I know the really peak season is about to start at the Parkside Eatery. So you
definitely
have to be gearing up for that, huh?
Yes. We have people coming in and ordering pounds and pounds of food all the time just to take right then and there.
All right. We are talking picnics today on Vox Pop. It is a Food Friday, 1-800-348-2551. We'll take a short break. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Spirit House Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world. Wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Planned Parenthood Mid-Hudson Valley, providing sexual and reproductive health and education services in Dutchess, Orange, Ulster, and Sullivan counties for over 80 years, ppmhv.org. Sheehy Opticians, Albany, New York, providing eyeglasses, including Bevel, LaFont, and Pro Design, progressive lenses from Verilux and Nikon, and Maui Jim, Costa and Ray-Ban sunglasses, SHEEHYOpticians.com. Mohonk Preserve, New Paltz, presenting Robert Loeb's Field Studies, an outdoor exhibition of six large-scale sculptures at the Preserve's Visitor Center on Route 4455 in Gardner, through October 18th, mohonkpreserve.org. The Lathrop Communities, serving older adults in the Quaker tradition for 25 years, independent living in Northampton and East Hampton, Massachusetts, in the heart of the Pioneer Valley, lathrop.kendall.org. And Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, testing, job strategies, interview preparation, resume, and cover letter writing, careersintransitionllc.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC Food Friday, 1-800-348-2551. We talked picnics today with Heidi Hoyt and Deanna Fox, and we have been eating already. The Creole sweet potato is really nice.
Thanks.
It's got some spice to it.
Yeah, it's a great picnic item. Gluten-free and easy to take anywhere.
Potatoes are gluten-free.
Sweet potatoes are. Regular potatoes are. They do not have wheat gluten in them.
I see. Yes. Well, let's go to the phones, and we'll start out with Chris in Northampton. Chris, you're first.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call today.
Sure thing.
I'm very happy to be hearing your show about picnics. I'm a very much picnicker. I have a little son who's 8 years old, and we have quite a lot of time in the summer to hang out, and so we spend our time going off to a lakeside somewhere in a state park and bring a bag of food. And I just wanted to share that I've been enamored of making smoked food for the picnics this summer because I stumbled onto a little vertical smoker device at the hardware store for not much money and started getting that cranked up and putting in chicken or trout or salmon or pork or beef or turkey or whatever it is you want to make. It's, you know, a little foresight, and you end up with all this food that's well-preserved and travels well and makes everybody deliriously happy when you get it out there and serve it up.
Absolutely.
Waterside.
Mm.
Well, it's also really great because smoking food preserves it, so you don't need to worry about refrigerating it.
But for how long, though? How long will it preserve it?
Well, that's how most cured meats... Well, you go through a curing process where you might use nitrates or other preservatives, but... smoking food is kind of an ancient way of preserving stuff. But Heidi, don't you smoke a lot of things at Parkside Eatery?
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pounds of things, yes.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we just finished smoking pastrami, which, as Deanna was saying, cured for quite a while and then smoked, and that's part of the process of curing. But when you do your fish, your trout, or did you say salmon?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you soak it first before you
brine
it?
Brining things before. I don't use any preservatives.
Sure.
It doesn't last that long anyway. But we brine most everything, or, you know, marinate it. In the case of beef jerky, we you know, we use a really powerful sauce with Worcestershire and soy and red pepper flake and, you know, garlic, and it comes out just fantastic.
It sounds delicious.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So if you want to try something a little different next time you do your salmon, you could brush it with honey just before you smoke it, and that'll even a savory honey, like a chestnut honey or something like that, will give it a really beautiful sheen, not to mention awesome flavor. And another thing you could do, just to, you know, kind of switch it up every now and then, is to make a pastrami rub and throw that on there. And you don't need a fancy pastrami rub. You know, just go in a good cookbook or online and find a nice rub and just throw that on the salmon just before you smoke it, and you'll have some sensational eating there.
Oh, that sounds great. I'll give that a try. That sounds absolutely stunning. I spent the best $100 I ever spent buying this little device that just basically cranks out smoke.
Nice. Hey, Chris, thanks a lot for the call.
Not at all. Enjoy your picnics.
We certainly are. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. It's Food Friday. Deanna Fox and Heidi Hoyt are here, and you there. Adam in Asbury Park, New Jersey. How you doing, Adam?
I'm doing well. How you doing?
Good. Nice to have you here.
So my question is, so my girlfriend actually just got diagnosed with celiacs, and I want to throw a picnic for her. And I'm trying to figure it out, because I love food with gluten, and I could not do a gluten-free lifestyle if my life depended on it. So I was just wondering if there's a way I can kind of, you know, mix and match some things from, you know, me and her, and we can, you know, have a nice picnic together, kind of maybe throw in some barbecue.
I think they have ideas.
Yeah.
Adam, have you ever heard of a scotch egg?
I have not, actually, no.
I love those.
So a scotch egg is a classic picnic food, and I think it was developed kind of exclusively for British car rides to the country and taking a picnic. So basically what you're doing is you're boiling an egg and boiling it, you know, if you want a hard-boiled, soft-boiled, that's your preference. And then you're wrapping the egg in sausage.
Yeah.
And then you're going to bread the egg. You can get gluten-free breadcrumbs. You don't even have to bread it, really. And then either you're going to bake it or you're going to fry it. And then it's usually packed cold or room temperature. It's fine at room temperature with a little bit of mustard. And so you could do something like that, because I think that would, it's so delicious. It would make you forget about the fact that you're not eating gluten.
They're one of the greatest things ever.
But something else you could do, like, you know, marinating fruit and putting fruit on skewers, or one of my favorite picnic things is to take cantaloupe and drizzle it, cut it into slices, drizzle it with honey. Slice some basil to put on, and actually some fresh cracked black pepper. It sounds a little weird, but it's super tasty. And it's just it's kind of sweet and kind of savory, and you don't really miss the gluten when you eat that way.
That sounds actually fantastic. So I'll definitely let him know. I'm looking really forward to that scotch egg. That sounds amazing.
They're amazing, especially with a couple of beers. Forget it. Really good.
Well, gluten-free beer.
Well, they actually just opened up a brewery down here in Asbury Park, so, I mean, you know, I'll definitely be getting some beer from there.
Just curious, what frequency are you listening on down there?
I'm listening on online.
Oh, good for you, man. Hey, listen, we appreciate the call. Always great to hear from Jersey. We love it. Thanks a lot for the call. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Who made the noodles?
That was Heidi.
Heidi.
Noodles.
Amazing.
Thank you.
So it's a peanut sauce of some kind?
It is. Sesame oil, toasted sesame oil, and peanut sauce. Yes.
And served cold. And just perfect for a picnic.
And for those celiacs, if you'll notice, I think out of everything I brought, that's the only thing that had gluten in it. And I brought like 8 things. And there's just so many options for gluten-free people and picnicking.
I'm amazed that the sweet potato has no gluten.
Well, it's not wheat gluten.
Yeah. It's really delicious.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, what's in the little cup here?
That is gazpacho.
Yo-ho-ho. Did you get some?
Which is practically I like to nickname it liquid salad. But anyway, it's tasty, it's zesty, it's fresh tasting. You know, this and cheese and a baguette, and you're ready to go.
What's in it? Tomatoes.
This has cucumbers, Roma tomatoes, green peppers, onions, cilantro, few other things thrown in there.
Really?
A little kick.
It does have a little kick.
Yes.
So far, everything has a little kick. The empanada has a little kick. Mm-hmm. Even the beets have a little kick.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, it's kind of like a counterintuitive thing to think about, but you'll notice that in a lot of hot climates, they eat spicy food.
Yeah.
And my editor at All Over Albany, Mary Darcy, her father had this theory that if you eat cold things during cold weather, it kind of like regulates your body temperature, so
you don't
notice a cold. So maybe it's the same in hot weather. So maybe you should pack really spicy
things.
Was
he a scientist?
I have no idea.
It's a very interesting idea.
I think it works. I don't know. I try not to eat too much ice cream in February, but you never know.
1-800-348-2551, our telephone number. All right, what else are we eating here?
We have pie still.
Mm. Yeah,
we have a couple types of pie.
Shall we do pies? Let's do a hand pie.
Okay.
Because they're funny.
They're kind of large. If you're looking online, if you're watching along, they're maybe a they're you know.
It's a two-hand pie.
It's literally the size of my hand. So there's one for you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, and the only thing really, it's the same idea as making any other pie, but the only difference I would recommend is I add a little bit more thickening agent. So when you're sitting there holding a pie, you don't have to do that classic hunched over stance like if you're eating a Philly cheesesteak, so it doesn't drip down the front of you.
I've had that stance.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just added a little bit more flour than I usually just use minute tapioca, but I added a few teaspoons of flour.
Wow.
Just to keep it thick and so it wouldn't be runny. So it's easy to eat one-handed.
The berries are delicious in this.
Thank you.
And pick them yourself?
Sure did.
They
just raspberries, blueberries, and black caps, black raspberries. So
you're, the secret to your crust, we've talked about it before, you need to tell everyone in the world about the secret to the way you make crust.
It is, I mean, it's really a simple recipe. So if I have pastry flour, I'll use pastry flour just because it has a lower gluten content. And it just makes a more tender crust. It's not going to get stuck in your teeth. But it's a 2 1/4 cup of flour. All-purpose is fine. A 1/4 teaspoon of baking powder. A teaspoon of kosher salt.
But not sea salt, right? Different?
Yes.
Why?
Well, different. Well, sea salt. Pretty much all salt is NaCl, sodium chloride. The difference comes in the grain structure. And with sea salt, you get all the minerals from wherever in the sea it's coming from.
Okay.
So it has a different flavor. But kosher salt is a different shape than table salt. So the unit of kind of conversion is if you have a recipe that calls for kosher salt and you only have table salt, you want to use half as much table salt.
Because there's less space between the grains?
Right.
Aha. All right. That's good to know.
Yeah. And then I use shortening and butter.
Okay. Now, you're the one, as I recall, who have four different kinds of either. You got shortening, you got butter, you got bacon fat. You have everything on hand all the time, right?
Yes.
Isn't that the case?
I have a little shelf in my fridge where there's chicken schmaltz and bacon fat. And I'm sure Heidi knows the power of a good fat. Yes.
Absolutely.
Fat is good.
Yeah.
Fat is good.
Did you try a hand pie, Heidi?
I did. That's sensational.
Yeah. Yeah. Isn't that nice? And you put little flowers on it.
I did. I had some extra pie dough left over. So, you know, most of the time with pie dough, we call them pie cookies in my house. You just roll the pie dough out, and I'm sure Heidi does this as well. You brush them with butter or egg wash, put cinnamon sugar on them, and bake them.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just tried something different today. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Go. Sorry. No, Heidi has a beautiful pie, too. I'm wondering what her crust secrets are.
Oh, shall we try a piece?
It's actually very, very similar to yours, only there's an egg and a little bit of vinegar in this as well.
Is the pie cut?
Yes.
Oh, it is. All right. So
let's move on to
some pie, and then I will take a call, and then we'll talk about your pie.
All right.
All right. Ted in Peekskill. Ted, you're on.
Hi. I love your show and discussion on picnics. Most of the picnics I go on, we pack and have to travel a long distance, 4 or 5 hours. And most of the foods we prepare, you know, don't hold up. They're either warm or the sandwiches are soggy or they just don't travel well. Are there dishes and to picnics you can suggest that we could prepare, drive 5 hours and not worry about?
That's a fair question.
I think part of the problem is how you package your food. So a lot of times, if I'm going on a picnic or if I'm driving an hour plus to get to wherever I'm going, any dressing that might be on something, I'll wait and I'll add it when I get there. So you can kind of break things down piecemeal and assemble them or toss them together when you get to where you're going. And that makes everything stay, so your bread won't get soggy as quickly. But a good layer of fat on any sandwich is, you know, going to help keep your bread from getting soggy. So if you're making like peanut butter and jelly, put peanut butter on both sides and jelly in the middle, and then your bread won't get soggy.
Okay,
likewise,
for a minute, I thought you were suggesting putting bacon fat on
well,
the
mayonnaise. If you were going to, if you were keeping this cold packed, if you were putting it in a cooler with some ice, putting a little bit of mayonnaise on both sides of the sandwich will help kind of keep it from getting too soggy. But
yeah, and what about you know, he was talking about containers or things like that. And that's, I think that's a fair question. Like, oftentimes we'll go to the beach and we will have a cooler, but things,
right,
sandwiches will get soggy after a few hours. So what's the secret?
I think that actually keeping the sandwich pieces separate until you're ready to eat them is a great idea.
So as Deanna said, just make it when you're there.
Exactly. And yeah, and you should have no problem. Everything should be great. And the snap-on lids that we have now, I mean, they keep everything fresh.
Right. And then there's the old, if you ever pay attention to Pinterest, the thing that has swept the internet is putting things in mason jars.
Oh, that's right.
And so if you make like a salad or something of that nature, a dessert, anything that's wet, you would want to put on the bottom and then layer things on top of that, so that when you put it onto a plate or into a bowl, you dump it and all of your dry ingredients end up on the bottom and the dressing ends up on top, but it stays. So you could do that as well if you wanted to, or just give it a good shake in the mason jar.
Hey, Ted, thanks a lot for the call.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate
Love your show.
Thanks a lot. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. It's Food Friday at Heidi Hoyt. The pie is amazing.
Oh, it's so good, Heidi.
Yeah, but as we're digging into it, we've all noticed it's not strawberry rhubarb.
It's peach.
It's peach raspberry.
And it's really amazing.
So we made several kinds of pies today, so I obviously grabbed the wrong one. So, yes.
No, you grab the right one. This is just fine.
And again, the crust on this, it's a different, completely different. Oh, look who's here, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. Try the pie. It's very good. But you have sugar on the top.
Mm-hmm. I love garnishing pies with a little extra sugar on top.
This is really good.
And so, I really encourage people to make their own pie crust because it really is, as Deanna said earlier, easy. It just takes a couple minutes.
And it really is worth it. But I would imagine that the margin for error is a lot more when you're starting from scratch. Like if you buy, if Ray the Klutz goes and buys the roll in the refrigerator section, there's less of a chance Ray's going to screw it up, right?
I'm not so sure about that. I think that you just, it almost becomes, you just make pie crust a couple of times and it's almost like muscle memory.
Yeah.
And it really is pretty hard to screw up pie crust unless you do something like, instead of flour, you use all cornstarch or something because they're both white.
Yeah.
You know, so you can
mess
it up that way.
Now you're getting in my wheelhouse. Yeah.
It's very forgiving.
But you know that the stuff, the quality just isn't the same for store-bought. It doesn't taste as good. And if you're going to go through the trouble of eating a pie, it should be really good pie.
Is this pie like readily available? Is this something that they have up at your shop?
Well, we make pie all the time. Yeah, we sell by the slice and whole pies.
Do they have a statue to you in Saratoga yet?
Hardly.
This is pretty good.
But I would say the only thing that I would really emphasize in working with crust is just not to overwork it. Just, you know, bring it together and then that's it. Just start.
Well,
rolling.
How do you know if you've gone too far?
Well, if you think you've gone too far, you've probably gone too far.
If it's a little bit crumbly when you're making it, that's okay. It's going to come together when you put it in the fridge because you want it to stay cold. How pie crust gets flaky is, those pieces of butter or fat or whatever you're using become little particles and they get cold and then they kind of pop like almost like bubbles in the oven and create these flakes. So if things start to melt on you when you're working it, just put it in the fridge for a few minutes, let it kind of chill out and hang, and It'll come together. It'll
you
be
know,
fine.
Oftentimes I find myself thinking about that chocolate peanut butter bacon pie that you made.
Oh, God.
And one of the things I was thinking about the other day, and I'm not kidding, is how you kept the crust together. Because that crust was, I think, shortbread cookies and bacon crumbles. And how would you keep that as a crust and not just particles?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I think it was, you're right, shortbread cookies and bacon fat.
Oh, the bacon fat did it.
And yeah, and yeah, you have to have some sort of fat that's kind of going to bind everything together on you. But again, it's just, that's, you know, just like you would make a graham cracker crust. It's just really just the butter or whatever fat you're using and the crumb. And you push it into your pie tin. And sometimes you might bake it, you know, before you add your filling. And sometimes you bake it all together. But yeah, so that's... You know, just keeping things cold when you're making pie, I think, is pretty critical.
Well, clearly you both know what you're doing. Let's take a break here. 1-800-348-2551. It's Food Friday. We're joined by Heidi Hoyt and Deanna Fox. And back to the phones we'll go in a minute.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio. Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York. CafeCapriccio.com. Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete, available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores. Manny'sOliveOil.com. Adirondack Creamery Ice Cream, crafted with local milk, cream, sugar, and eggs, and no artificial additives. Flavors such as Whiteface Mint Chip and Black Raspberry are available at Adams Ferriker Farms, Whole Foods, ShopRite, and coming soon to Hannaford. AdirondackCreamery.com. NBT Bank, offering trust and fiduciary services, investment management, and retirement planning for individuals and businesses. NBTBank.com. Destination Williamstown, a calendar of curated events in the Northern Berkshires. Culture, College, Cows, DestinationWilliamstown.org. And Windy Hill Farm Nursery, Orchard, and Garden Shop, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, providing landscape consultation, landscape design, and installation in the Berkshires, WindyHillFarmInc.com.
You know, the topic on Food Friday can be anything, and it always comes back to pies. It's quite amazing. Today was picnics, and now we just talk about pies. And you know why? Because Deanna Fox is here, and she loves pies. And Heidi Hoyt's here, and she loves pies. And I love pies. But if you want to talk about something other than pies, why, the lines are open. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go over to Barbara in LaGrangeville. Barbara, is this call about pies?
No, but I do love pies, but I was wondering about when I do a picnic and I do day packing, so I don't have a cooler with me, but I'm out in the trail for the day with a bunch of friends.
All right.
I'm a vegetarian, and I will bring, like, apple and slice it and put in peanut butter. I have nuts and things along with that, different types of fruit, but I was wondering if you have other suggestions of things perhaps I could pack that are compact and they will, you know, slightly preserved, right?
Yeah.
Have you ever invested in a bento box or any kind of container like that where everything is kind of segmented and separated a little bit?
A what type of box?
It's called a bento box, B-E-N-T-O. It's, I think it's Japanese in origin.
Oh, okay.
But it's really,
I know what you're talking about.
It's big, like in Hawaii and in the Pacific Rim area. But so essentially what it allows you to do is take one container that's relatively compact, but you can put a lot of different things in it without them touching. So you could do something like pretty much anything that Heidi made today, I think, would be amazing because there's really no need to refrigerate it. So the noodle dish or the coleslaw, or she has a beautiful salad with cucumbers and red onion. So you can really pack any of that, and it will taste, you know, maybe a little bit better than just taking a granola bar.
Yeah.
Right, yeah, and I try to make as much of my own food as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I heard what you said about the coleslaw and having a vinaigrette sauce or something like that instead of the mayonnaise then would keep in that bento box for the day.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it allows you to kind of have some of them, if you go to an outdoor store, they'll have them and they'll have silverware that collapses and kind of tucks right into the top.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
oh,
so
neat.
It's pretty easy. But I don't know, Heidi, is there like a good ratio for a vinaigrette that people should follow if they want to throw something together?
Yeah, I would do like, well, first of all, pick your acid. You could use cider vinegar. You could use fresh lemon juice. You could use, like, for instance, I have beets here that have champagne vinegar on them. And you do is change the flavor profile, but you can keep the proportions the same. I like to use canola oil and a little olive oil in the salads. Because it's light and doesn't take over the flavor of what I'm making. So if you're doing proportions, you know, like a quarter cup of vinegar to about a cup and a half of oil, and then add whatever flavorings you want. Your salt and pepper, definitely. You could add cracked pepper. You could add sugar to it. You could add celery seeds. You could add turmeric, coriander, cumin. It just depends on where you want to go with it. All the salads I brought today are pretty much based on a basic proportion, but I've changed the flavorings of each one just by switching up the vinegars. And I will also say that vegetables love to just marinate in acidic vinaigrettes, and they actually get better after a couple of hours. You know, if I mix together a cucumber salad, it will taste better 2 or 3 hours from now than it will 5 minutes after I made it.
And it won't get soggy after a few hours?
No. I mean, these all stay fairly crispy. When you start hitting 5 hours, 6 hours at room temperature or possibly very hot weather, then yes, you'll be entering that.
You know, Barbara.
But it depends how thick you slice your cucumber, and then it would be less up to get as soggy as opposed to thin slice.
Right, and I always add onion with cucumber because I am a great lover of onions of all sorts. I mean, just if it's in the family, I love it.
Barbara, the sweet potato dish is one that I recommend.
Yeah, it sounds delicious,
it's
and I'm
really
a sweet
good.
Potato fan, that's for sure.
Can you go through that recipe briefly again, Heidi?
The sweet potatoes?
Yeah.
Wow, that is
a lot of preparation.
No, it is very little preparation, but the only part that really is preparation is the Creole seasoning that goes on it. It has about, I don't know, 10 or 12 different seasonings. You could definitely purchase a good one if you're not into mixing your own. I add just a little bit of salt to it. I toss thickly cut sweet potatoes with canola oil and the Creole seasoning, and then I roast them until they're slightly caramelized and very tender, and then they're best at room temperature.
Oh, delicious.
They really are.
And good for you.
Thanks, Barbara.
Yes, yes. Well, thank you very much, and it sounds like you have a delicious picnic there. As, you're all enjoying it.
Oh, it's.
I don't get to listen to this program very much. I'm glad I was off today and was able to listen in.
Well,
thank you very much.
Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. And yeah, we sure do. We sure do have some good food today. This is one of the really great perks of this job. All right, this is from email. This is from Mark in Pleasant Valley. Pie crust. See, it's all about pies. Pie crust by hand or in food processor. Utility of fraisage. What's that?
I have no idea.
Fraisage in making pie crust?
Couldn't tell you, but I can tell you that depending, if you want to use a food processor, that's totally fine. The only trick is you have to pulse it. You can't just sit and let it blitz through.
Why?
Because it will make the butter, it will make it too fine, but it'll also create heat. But when that blade spins around, it's creating heat, and that's exactly what you don't want to do when you're making pie.
So it's got to be cool.
Yes.
Who knew?
Fast and furious in the food processor.
Yeah.
Really?
That's
just get
key.
It over with.
That's it.
So
yep.
It's okay to use the food processor.
Definitely.
You, in the course of your regular duties at work?
Yes, food processors are very important.
You cater as well, right? It's not just the Parkside Eatery?
Definitely. Black Diamond Caterers. Yes.
And so that's got to be a whole different ball of wax, huh?
Definitely, yeah. So when we make pie, we make it for 100, 200, or whatever. So, yes.
What's the most popular thing this time of year for catering?
Oh, gosh. Well, right now I have to say barbecue is just craziness. I mean, my smoker is going almost 24 hours a day with chicken or whatnot. We just started bringing in chickens from Macbrin Farm in Malta, which are gorgeous. But, you know, I learned something where the chickens I had been getting, although they were natural and a great product, are definitely fattier because they tend to be a little bit more on the commercial side. But when you bring chickens in from a farm where they're running around, because these are field-grown chickens, there's very little fat on these birds.
But don't you need some fat?
Yes and no. What I did is I brined them. So, you know, 2 days brining in a brown sugar salt brine and then into the smoker with some cherry wood, and they're fantastic.
You know?
So, yeah, Heidi touches on a good point. Chicken, fried chicken is like a classic picnic food. And you see that a lot, but, you know, you probably have to brine that too, either in a buttermilk brine or
something. We definitely
do
buttermilk, yep.
Yeah, so... Okay. Fried chicken, and it's good. It doesn't have to be served warm. You can serve at room temperature, and it's just wonderful.
Tell me about this buttermilk brine. Now, we brine. Now, last time we go sort of low and slow when we grill, and I'll put the cherry wood or the hickory or whatever in, and we'll smoke chicken or pork chops or whatever. And we did brine the chicken prior, but tell me about this buttermilk brine. This is counterintuitive. I wouldn't think of brining anything in buttermilk.
It's actually sensational, and you don't have to do just chicken either. But, you know, a day or two in buttermilk, and then it has to be patted dry, and then you move forward with whatever it is that you're doing with it. You know, if you're doing a fried chicken entree with it, then, you know, there's many ways to approach fried chicken. But the brining of the buttermilk just gives it this wonderful... plump, tangy flavor.
It's no other spices or anything? Just buttermilk?
Yeah. I mean, until you get to the outer crust.
Right.
And then it's all about, you know, your secrets that you put on there.
Your secret spices. All right, let's go to Kermit in Pittsfield. Kermit.
Yeah, hi, guys. So I wasn't able to get to the phone while you folks were talking about salmon preparation.
Yeah.
But one ingredient I have found as really terrific for it, and I'm not sure, since I missed part of the show, maybe somebody else mentioned it, but maple syrup. Mm. My neighbors have, for many years, come over to tap the maple trees in my yard. And they always present me with a gift of about a half gallon of maple syrup. It's a laborious process. They suggested that I use some of it. It's, you know, when you get it very fresh out of your own trees by hand, it tastes a lot different than when it comes from a commercial producer. And I have grilled or pan-fried my salmon fillets in that maple syrup, and it is a wondrous experience. I invite anybody who would like to try that. I think they would enjoy it a lot. That's my only comment.
That sounds sensational. I am a huge fan of maple syrup. Just
As am I, but I am, you know, salmon is it for me as far as fish is concerned. And when I, you know, at first I said to myself, maple syrup, but then I had my homemade maple syrup from my neighbors, and I had taken care to make sure the fish was, you know, pretty well done before I put it in the fry pan. Added it on till I could get a caramelized kind of topping on it with a little bit of butter. It was phenomenal.
Mm. Sounds good.
Okay, so enjoy the weekend. Thank you so much for letting me get on the show.
Hey, man, thanks a lot. We appreciate it. Let's go over to Kerry in Ballston Spa. Kerry.
Kelly.
Kelly. All right, Kelly. Yeah. If that is your true name, you're on.
Okay. I was wondering if I could get the recipe for that chocolate peanut butter bacon pie.
Oh, so funny you brought that up, because I just had a bite, and it's really good. Oh.
Well, this is a little bit, what I brought today is...
this is the peanut butter pie. No, this...
Yes. So I brought a chocolate peanut butter dish today, which is kind of similar. This is my mother, Suki, is known across 3 counties for confusing the smoke alarm with the kitchen timer. However, she can make these chocolate peanut butter bars with the pie recipe. So basically, I just took find a graham cracker crust recipe, but substitute out the graham cracker for shortbread cookies, like Lorna Doone or homemade or whatever. And for however much butter that the recipe would say, you would use bacon fat. If you can't get that much bacon fat, you can use butter. But then I just cooked off some bacon in the oven, and I crumbled very finely the bacon in with the crust. And I just pushed that in and I baked it in the oven, like a 350-degree oven for about 15 minutes, just so the crust sets. And then I made a chocolate ganache, which is just semi-sweet chocolate and a tiny bit of butter and some heavy cream, and you melt that together. And I poured that in, and I let that chill in the fridge. And then I made a peanut butter mousse with just a little bit of whipped cream and some softened peanut butter over the top, and that was it.
No. Caramelized bacon.
Oh, and then there was
bacon. The mousse is softened peanut butter and whipped cream?
Yeah, and I think I maybe put a little bit of cream cheese, like maybe a couple tablespoons of cream cheese to give it some body. And then, yes, there was
caramelized bacon on the top.
Candied bacon. So candied bacon, all you do is you take bacon and you just put a little bit of cayenne pepper and brown sugar together. And you pat that on top of your bacon in kind of a thin layer and put it in the oven at 400 and just let it get kind of crispy, maybe like 10 or 15 minutes, and then you have candied bacon.
And you never put that recipe on your blog, did you? Like, and now you can't remember exactly.
I didn't. I have it written down somewhere, I'm sure.
You need to get that on your blog and that Silly Goose Farm, right?
That
yes.
Sounds amazing.
That website is there, but I would recommend people go to deannafox.org. You could find it. Or I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Deanna N. Fox. And there's pictures and some recipes there,
You need
too.
That recipe to... We need that recipe. Yeah. America needs that recipe. All right. Thank you for calling. Kerry, if you can, Kelly, if you can make that happen, you'll be very happy. It's really good.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye now. Still time for a call or two if you wish. 1-800-348-2551. Your mother's recipe on the chocolate peanut butter
Thank you.
Really
I think
good.
It's actually from like the back of a Hershey's chocolate package. But, you know. Those work too.
The
so
best,
great.
The best chocolate cake my grandmother ever made was from the back of a Hershey's
can. Oh, that's
can.
A great cake. Yeah.
You know the one, the refrigerator cake?
Yep, that's a good cake.
And the what always interested me was that she could take a layer, like a sponge layer, and cut it in half down the middle. There's a trick to that. Or maybe there's a tool for that. I don't know.
Dental floss.
Dental floss?
Yeah.
I don't think my grandmother, maybe. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe
a steady hand.
Yeah, I think so. But that was good. And then it goes in the fridge for like 10 hours or something. And it's this chocolate cream sauce. And it's, oh, so good.
Something that people shouldn't forget, too, when you're packing a picnic is what you're going to drink.
Oh, good point. In the last minute, you can talk about drinking.
So, right. So lemonade is always an easy one to take. Sangria. You can make an alcoholic sangria or non-alcoholic just by substituting in some ginger ale and maybe some juices. But there's a lot of wine companies and beer companies now that are making things in non-glass containers. So you can buy wine almost like an adult, like juice boxes, Tetra Paks.
No way.
Yes. So you can do that, little mini servings. And there's a lot of beer that comes in cans now. Nine Pin Cider, which is a local company, now puts its cider in cans. So you can take it to parks and on boats and to, you know, concert venues. So
I find that beer in cans keeps better. There's no light damage to the beer itself. And so... Got a nice beer in a can. It's pretty good. Yeah. Well, we're almost out of time here. Let's go very quickly. All right. Hildegard in Orange County, I'm so sorry. You only have about 10 or 15 seconds to pose your question. Go ahead.
Okay. Road trip with several ladies, and there's no possibility of bringing food with us. We will stop and have a picnic at my suggestion. What can I, outside of sandwiches or pizza, what can I buy and assemble on site?
In 10 seconds.
Cheese, meat, fruit, bread. Stop at a small grocer or something and have a plowman's lunch.
The cured meats.
Mm-hmm. Cured meats. All right, Hildegard, thank you. Thanks very much to Heidi Hoyt and Deanna Fox for being here. Thanks to everybody for listening. Support comes from Blue Heron Restaurant and Catering, located in Old Town Hall, Sunderland, Massachusetts. Open Tuesday through Sunday at 5, featuring outdoor dining on the patio and front porch throughout the summer. BlueHeronDining.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their updated website with more information about membership, grants, and loans, so our past has a future, preserveNYS.org, and Spirit House, Amherst, Massachusetts, a family-owned wine, beer, and spirits retailer offering organically farmed wines from around the world, wine tastings Saturday afternoons, spirithaus.com. Thanks again for listening to this program, Food Friday. Thanks to Deanna Fox and Heidi Hoyt for being here. Thanks to Zachary Malloy at the controls. Your phones are answered by Sarah Healy, our producer and associate food server, Jessica Blaustein. Marshall, I'm Ray Graff. Have a great weekend. Alan is back on Monday with Medical Monday.